And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Laura Houston. And tonight, we have our first show with Journey to Your Light with Beth Lynch. And I'm very excited to start this new show, and I think you are going to just love it. So welcome, Beth.
Hi, thank you.
And now, so Beth, you're now going to be one of the new co-hosts on Intuitive Soul Radio. Why don't you start a little bit with, you know, what has your journey been and how you've gotten to where you are?
Okay. Well, it goes back, I have to say, when I saw the movie The Sixth Sense, I kind of felt finally like my childhood was more normal. I used to see way back. I know a lot of mediums and intuitives have that way back story as well when they were little and that sense. And then basically, you know, fast forward through life, suppressing it, not wanting to, and not understanding why I would think something and it would happen because, you know, you take that, I think that sense of responsibility, you made it happen even though you didn't. It was energy and motion. And but then when I lost my parents, both within a three-year period together, I really became very conscious of life and death and the hurt and the and I didn't understand it, and I was a little angry at God and the universe, and because why, you know, why me? And I basically started a journey that I didn't realize consciously I was starting, but I started getting into meditation, yoga. I realized some of the things I was drawn to naturally, which yoga I was for a few years before that even, were all things now I understand them to be, you know, balancing my energy system, balancing chakras, uniting mind, body, heart, spirit. So again, not knowing that at the time, you know, you're just doing it. So I was nurturing the intuition and actually making, I think, the ability to be more sensitized, which I truly believe we all have an ability. And I think we come in for different reasons to utilize it. But first and foremost, personally, has to be utilized, your intuition and, you know, using it for your own choices and challenges in life. So then I just became more, very much more conscious, started making, taking like little classes in meditation. And then I went to a medium a year after my mom passed, and she looked at me and said, "You are not using your gifts," your mother told me. And she says that you will sit in my chair someday and help many people. And I looked at her like, well, this is not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to just hear how she is. I don't want all this responsibility thrown on my shoulders, kind of the way I looked at it. And then, you know, and I just really kept going. I just kept delving more into the understanding of spirituality, which I feel now is the reality of who we are. It is our spirit, and understanding the self and the spirit, you know, are here to join forces and work together, but we do this real, real natural separation in that. You know, we tend to separate the two, and I think it, you know, starts very young a lot of times. In, you know, our environments, our upbringings, and it's not anything someone's doing wrong or not. There's a lot of traditionalism that sometimes keeps us in this little place of safety. But I think what I found out in the more metaphysical way of looking at life is, you know, it was okay to be drawn to Buddha, and it was okay to be drawn to the traditional, you know, Mother Mary, Jesus. It was okay. Everything was okay. And that's what I really began to learn, and that's when, you know, I just started talking to people and would start seeing things, and I just asked for it to be blessed and show me what you want me to do, and here I sit 16 years later.
I think it's interesting how, I guess due to our religious upbringing, how a lot of this just feels so taboo and so unnatural, and so we, you know, just due to the fact that, you know, there's so much dogma attached to religion and God and religious figures, that I guess we struggle with that, and that's really the first thing we have to sort of overcome, is the incorrect views of how religion has placed God and the Son of God or the experiences of the avatars that came before us.
I mean, you just said it all. We do, and I think it's part of our natural ascension in life to go through that and find its place. And, you know, as a medium, I've had many beautiful experiences with people who come to their loved ones, and they're so, you know, one elder man, I remember this room, I had eight people in front of me, and they were very serious looking, and they, you know, came to get a session, and he walked in and threw down this book, and it was all dusty, and he dusted it off, and he was in spirit. I was seeing him for these people, and he said, it's much bigger than this. And when he dusted it off, it said the Bible. So I started out the session that way, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, these people, I hope they're not going to be upset. And they literally just burst into tears and joy and were like, thank God, because if he says it's okay, and it was Grandpa, they knew it was Grandpa, then it must be okay that we're here. And, I mean, he just broke the ice, you know, and he wasn't, it was nothing against that, the Bible or the Word. It was very much a respect, but to understand that there is more to it than just, you know, word for word for word, you know what I mean? And to open, and he, you know, the healing that took place for that family that night, I think, was amazing. And there were all ages here, you know, from teens to the mother, the wife of him, you know. So it's pretty interesting what they've chosen to show us from spirit, you know, to embrace all.
Right.
You know.
And so mediumship has been something that you have learned to, I go, grow with, I guess. It seems to be the thread that sort of brings all of this together for you.
Yeah. Definitely. The understanding of life, and, you know, I don't even feel comfortable with the word death anymore. It's like life and the continuation of life in our pure spirit form. But we're not meant to wait till we cross into the spiritual realm to embrace that spirit. And I think that's some of the biggest lessons and words I'm hearing for many people who come, that embrace your spirit. I am eternal. You know, we are eternal. You will be eternal. We're still having a relationship with you, only not in a physical sense. And it's pretty interesting that the healing that can go on in a human being when they hear those words from a loved one, in whatever way it's going to be said, they get it. They make that frequency connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting.
And so journey to your light is finding your light before you pass, finding that spark that's within all of us that will allow us to make those connections now instead of having to wait.
Definitely. And that is why, you know, the book itself was put together, Journey to Light, Meditation for the Soul. That's exactly what it's called, because it is, you know, we all have a soul. And when we meditate, or we go in quiet, or we allow for quiet time or higher vibrational experiences, and the simplicity, you know, in the book itself, I tried to make it very simple for people, and then it kind of ascends into a little more deeper as it goes along. But, you know, this is a daily commitment to unite self and spirit, self being the personality, the choices, or the personality, you know, your qualities, your quirks, the way you perceive life, and that can change so many times throughout your physical life, because you go through so many things and you're in different places and spaces and healing or not, you know. And then the spirit, who's that, you know, that angel on your shoulder who will always look out for you. But if you don't connect to it and you search outside yourself on the physical level through other people or, you know, different vices, then how do you really know that spirit? A lot of those things numb the relationship, you know, numb the frequency, so you can't even reach the frequency, which it really all comes down to the vibrational, you know, energy and the understanding yourself as a vibration. And the journey to light definitely takes you through into higher vibration, so that spark can turn to the flame and then illuminate you as a complete light being in the physical journey.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting as I listen to you speak, because you're using, you know, self, spirit, and soul a little bit differently than I have come to know it, although I think, you know, we all really, it's all semantics, but to me, the soul is your higher self. It is that, also the individuated aspect of ourselves that go from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime, and that spirit is really the oneness, the connection of the one that is all, and that the soul is sort of the bridge to that, because it still holds our individuated aspects of God, but because we are in this physical realm, we have a personality, which is the ego, which is the mind, and then the connection to spirit, as I see it, is through the soul.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I like how you worded that. I like how you put it. You can feel it, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's through time that some of this knowledge has become more and more clear, although I believe from a Taoist approach, it's always been that way. But I think it's almost like as we grow, certain knowledge seems to come with it.
Yeah, I like how you put it. Yeah. You know, I'm enjoying listening to you just say just how you perceive this to be, that it's a truth. It's the reality. Yeah. I mean, you're wording it very beautifully.
Thanks. So
it's part of every experience, everything that we are, we're ascending to that, you know, and then you know, you nurture it every day, you know, and when you nurture it every day and you have that emotional connection with it, and it's not just an intellectual connection, you know, there's a lot of that, you know, and if you see it as well, where people have a lot of that intellectual connection with their spirit, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's that level, and then, but it's those feelings and that experience when it's felt inside of you, can't give anyone, and no one can take it once it's felt, you know, and that's that inner light that you feel inside that, wow, you know, I'm not alone. We're never alone. It's almost like it can wash away loneliness once you have it.
It's
that
true.
Loneliness can't exist.
Yeah. And definitely that kinesthetic, that feeling connection is, I think as we grow spiritually, there's this emotional development that happens that we, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are doing spiritual bypass where they're not connecting in with their feelings because they're so not grounded and they're not wanting to connect with those of what we consider negative qualities or the bad emotions. Mm-hmm. And so we tend to be so disconnected from ourselves that we're just thinking that this is all about bliss, and it's not about bliss. It is, but we have to feel, and to be able to feel what you're talking about, you have to be able to feel the disconnect. You have to be able to feel the pain and the struggle and everything that comes with it so that we can allow ourselves to know that duality. But it's so much that understanding, and you know, the kids that are coming in these days, they're so kinesthetic. They're so much in their feelings because that's the one place that we can't lie.
And it's the one thing, don't you think, that keeps people away from this perception or this inner awareness is because they don't, they don't want to feel it.
Yeah.
And you do have to feel both.
You have to. Yeah.
You know, it's heads or tails. It's you know, there's two sides to the quarter, you know what I mean? And you're going to look at both of them, and you have to, you know?
Yeah, because you can't heal otherwise. We can't continue to stuff down and to pretend they're not real just because our parents were uncomfortable with us expressing our anger and our frustration, and their parents were uncomfortable with them. And so we've been, you know, each generation has tried to stifle who we are. And with that goes our intuition, because as we stop feeling, we can't connect with our intuition.
Hmm. Well put, Lori. Really, that's it. I mean, it is both sides, and it has to be, you know, embraced, recognized, embraced, and then, you know, I don't know, when it's embraced, a lot changes.
Right.
That it's okay. It's okay to have that anger, that sadness, that fear, but do you want to sit in it, you know?
Right, and then that's the other problem, is that we get so caught up in, you know, the struggle and holding on to the blame and the victimhood and, you know, those areas that we get stuck in, that we can't forgive and we can't let go and we can't see the perfection and the gift in all the experiences.
Hmm. I know I've had many people sit in front of me when forgiveness was, you know, brought in from the spirit world, you know, you have to forgive, and sometimes it's even between them, you know, and them, you know, the living and the spirit, and or it's, you know, they're talking about family things that are going on, and I've had people look right at me and say, well, I don't want to forgive, and I'm like, but you have to understand, this is an energy your loved one is showing you, look, this frequency is going to hurt you more now, I'm not physical, you know, this is, I'm helping you, I'm trying, and I'll say, just, you know, pray for the strength to accept, you know, the ability to forgive, because you're choosing not to, and that in itself is creating much discord, discomfort, and maybe disease in the body as time goes on.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a vibrational cord running through you, and it will cause havoc.
Yeah.
If nothing else, for peace of mind and healing and enlightenment, you're still physical, so you're still going to get, you know, the consequences of holding on.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, we can get into all of these, but, you know, forgiveness and gratitude are the main areas, I think, that we are moving towards, because through forgiveness, we can come to a place of recognizing the gift of recognizing the contracts that they were there to assist us to move through. I mean, it's the dance that we're playing is so intricate and yet so incredible. I mean, I know that you mentioned how, you know, a lot of people, we have these challenging and painful experiences to go through. And I mean, it is those experiences that allow us to grow. And it is those experiences that, you know, many of us requested so that we would grow. Because it's not been until recently, I mean, with these new kids, that, you know, maybe they won't have to go through the pain and struggle that, you know, those of us that have sort of led the way had to. But if we didn't have that, most of us wouldn't have grown.
Mm-mm. No, we wouldn't be who we are. And, you know, I think those of us who have found that place and that peace, you know, and we're help trying, you know, we are showing others, you know, may not be the only way, but, you know, we share our experiences personally. We, you know, and we are the first to say we still have challenge, you know, we don't know what's up ahead, you know,
yeah.
But we'll embrace it because we've survived, you know, you brought the divine truth into experiences, then that higher perception where your third eye is, you know, wide open and looking for always the higher truth in something very painful or, you know, very challenging. And some people, you know, that eye is so hard to open, that intuitiveness, to me, is not no longer, you know, that stuff. You know, that people say that stuff you're into. It's survival.
Yeah.
You know, and the children, like you speak of, they come in, they're so intuitive. I do meditation with kids from 5 years old and up, and it's amazing to see a room of 6-7-year-olds sitting there chanting, and they just look like they're lifting off the floor, and, you know, they're so natural to them once they get to that place. You know, if you guide them, they're just there, and they want it, and they're thirsty for it, and you know, I don't know, I think back when I was 5 or 6, I don't know if I would quite have been so open to it. But I see it monthly when I have the classes for the little ones and the youngers, and now the teens. I mean, they're coming to the sanctuaries, they're coming to meditation, and you're right, they are, you know, maybe going to be spared that, you know, if we have to measure in time or age, late, you know, through the 20s and 30s and 40s before they get somewhere, you know, they're kind of already walking in that enlightenment young.
Yeah.
But it has to be nurtured, and they want to understand it, you know.
Right.
More and more parents bringing their kids. It's really nice.
And it is. It's incredible. And it was because of us kind of leading that way to allow them to have these experiences, because we had to do it first, or else they wouldn't have been ready to come through if we hadn't have, you know, pioneered some of those ways for them, gotten through what we did through the struggle and pain that we had to go through. You know, that path wouldn't be available to them.
Right. Very true.
Yeah. I mean, they really are some incredible things, and I love that you're doing, you know, you're doing meditation with some of them, because that's, you know, just... I can just imagine what that would be, what kind of energy that would be creating for the planet, because that's very powerful.
You know, they don't doubt, they just go. You know, you tell them, I put a little sign up spelling out the Om in an easy way for them, and they're like, they look at it for like 1 second, and then their eyes are closed, and their fingers on their thumb, and they're just... boom, they're there, you know, and they'll do it better than adults in a chanting class. And I laugh because I think of my, you know, I think of them little ones, and I'm like, they don't go into the mental end. They just go into the feeling immediately, you know, and they're And that's all good. Yeah. It's all good. But they're the light carriers for this planet.
Absolutely. And again, we're back to that feeling place, because it's really these kids that, you know, again, if we hadn't been able to get there, because traditionally, you know, intuition has always been sort of a clairvoyant and a clairaudient. Those were the two primary ways of intuiting. And it hasn't been until, I mean, it's been since maybe, I guess, the harmonic convergence that really in 1987 that sort of opened more doors for that very grounded spirituality, that very much that feeling. Because prior to that, I don't know that there was much information at all about claircognizance or clairsentience to understand what it even meant.
Right.
But as that time came, and as that goddess energy got anchored, and as we sort of came into our own, it that's when that energy sort of started to become more relevant. And then, of course, these kids are being born knowing that. They're just, that's where they are.
Hmm. Because,
yeah. I mean, I get really excited about all this because I know it really has to do with, you know, the fact that we're moving out of the male dominant energy, and, you know, seeing and hearing tends to be a more, it's still associated a lot with that energy that where we could hide and have masks, and where the truth that's coming out with these kids and the clairsentience and the claircognizance that we're moving into, you can't lie anymore. You can't be stuck in that energy that is untruthful.
Mm.
And it's very exciting because it means such a change for our planet.
Oh, it's so global. I mean, you're right. I mean, and it begins so personally, you know. I remember when we went to into war, and I remember, like, I felt like every cell in my body was sick. I mean, I just felt this moment of, this is not good. This is not good. That was, and I knew it was a personal feeling, but I was feeling it on such a cellular level. It was different. And I remember praying and saying, why are we here again? Why is a species, do we have to go here again? And mm-hmm. I don't get it. And I remember a couple of days later, I was washing the dishes. There's something about me washing the dishes. I get this little tingle in my feet, and I'll, oh, no, here comes something, you know. I always can feel it right through my body. And I heard the voice, and the voice said, as long as there is war in the soul, there will be war on earth.
Mm.
And, I mean, it just penetrated me, and I realized, oh, my God, I had asked that question a few days ago, like put it out in meditation. You know, why are we here again? And I went, well, you know, that didn't really make me feel much better. I had a laugh at spiritual. I mean, hello, there is a lot of war on a lot of personal levels in the soul. And then I realized that, you know, maybe it is Earth, that this is the safe place for these wars and battles and ceasefires and surrenderings to take place. This is, it can't be up there. It needs to be here, and that's why we return. And it kind of all flowed for me after, you know, in that matter of a few seconds of, this doesn't make me feel much better, but okay. You know, I kind of saw, and then I thought, well, you know, poor Earth.
Yeah.
But then I thought, you know what, but there's so much light lifting too.
Uh-huh.
You know, and but it was just an interesting little the way the words came in, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't have thought them, you know what
right.
I mean, they just flew, and there was that, wow, I put that out there. So.
Yeah. And it's fascinating because it really shows us the illusion of the separation that we're living under on this planet, because it is that separation of soul and spirit that is creating the disharmony of within our soul. And it's that causes the war, because it's, we still see ourselves as so separate. As long as we feel we can die, as long as we feel we are not connected to God or Source or however you want to, you know, make that connection, we will create that disharmony. And that disharmony, you know, comes in deepest when we're in such conflict. And whether the conflict is an internal battle, which most of us go through, as we awaken, or it's the unawakened that are within, that are in the, you know, the very physical battle outside.
Mm-hmm. I kind of call them the root chakra people. Nothing. Yeah. I think that's what, if I'm understanding what you're saying right, you know, people kind of stuck in the tribal, in survival, down here, this is how, you know,
yeah.
feeling, and they, you know, they look at, you know, like if they're, the physical world, you know, if you have a crack, a lot of times in readings I can see cracks in the foundation, and I know that they're coming from nice. A fear of the root chakra, which means it's their survival, or their that stability feeling, or that, yeah. That sense of security,
yeah.
you know, and whether that's a personal relationship or a career thing or, you know, just a perception of life where they're at. And there are so many people going through that transformation right now, as you probably see in readings that too, that, you know, it is, you know, you're moving up your chakra ladder, you know, in a sense. And sometimes there's that still that heavy weight of down in that, well, this is my, you know, it's rocking my foundation, or even in you know, traditional belief systems too, you know, some don't rock with that. You know, I know people will tell me, well, you know, my mother's mad I'm doing this because, you know, it's against higher principles. And I'm like, no, if you only knew how, you know, divine it really is, these experiences. I don't walk around trying to talk anyone into it by any means, but when you have them, you know, I mean, the first, I consider God my boss, you know what I mean? I mean, that's the way I look at it, you know, that's where I open for my guidance, and I'll say, you know, thank you for you know, letting me be a part and serving you, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, but that foundation, you know, people really struggle with that a lot, being, you know, don't mess with that, don't mess with my foundation, and again, is it a relationship? Is it a career? Is it your finance, you know, numbers? Is it your, you know, religious belief system? It's so interesting how, you know, we have to move up that chakra ladder, you know, that energy ladder, and the heart is really where we transform those lower vibrational patterns of emotion into the higher, and some people just truly don't know their heart. And they're trying to, and I think that's a beautiful awakening that we're seeing, is people want to know their heart. They want to come from that self-love. They're trying to discover it if they haven't.
Yeah.
It's opening a lot of people up. It opens up pain, too,
yeah.
you know. But that pain, like you say, we learn from that pain.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about the root chakra and that fear of survival, I mean, I think it has been so ingrained in us, especially over the past year and a half with the financial crisis that's sort of permeating the fear on this planet at this time still, where, you know, that has been a way to control us, to keep us from, you know, moving into those higher dimensions so that we can evolve. I mean, it's certainly, I mean, I don't like talking about that type of manipulation, but that certainly has been, you know, very prevalent in the last little while to try and stop us from achieving, you know, those higher states of awareness, to get us to, you know, acknowledge the fear that not only within us that we have to heal, but, you know, around us that we have to heal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm. Well, it, again, you know, so many people don't know what to do with that type of energy, and so they either struggle with it or they, you know, try and bury it and pretend it's not there. And I mean, I think some of the ancient texts and some of the teachers that are out there have certainly, I think there are ones that have been very good at teaching us to be, you know, more full-bodied awareness and, you know, that more presence. And then there's some that I think have been misunderstood, where they talk about being detached. And I think there's this subtle line between, you know, how we're acknowledging and understanding certain sacred texts and certain spiritual leaders in the field, that we're, you know, still, some of us are still using some of that information in a way so that we don't have to feel and we don't have to get into it, and we can shut out and continue to be separate and continue to feel being a victim. And It's interesting.
Yes. That separation. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So talk about, you know, how our consciousness is affected by our emotions, our thoughts, and our body and spirit.
Okay. How our consciousness is affected. Well, you know, it's interesting even the way that you worded that, because we have our subconscious, which will hold all levels of frequency, happiness to sadness, fear, anger, you know, the wounds. But it also holds the happiness. And in the subconscious, you move up to your conscious level, which is what you're living in. But where you're living in your conscious level, those stored or, you know, suppressed emotions and the vibrations of certain thought pattern, of any thought pattern you've ever had lying in the subconscious that's been, you know, suppressed and held down, it's still going to affect the conscious, because the magnetics of those vibrations are creating your energy field, or floating in your energy field, if you will, and creating the law of attraction. So, you know, it's almost like they're influencing one another, they're flowing through consciousness, these vibrational emotions, or these emotions of low frequency, as well as high frequency, and again, creating that law of attraction. And then you move up to your higher consciousness or super consciousness or universal consciousness. I know there's quite a few words we can use for it. And, you know, that's the one. It's like I feel people are what we're seeing in transformation and people reaching out and, you know, keeping us busy. People like us very busy. You know, they're reaching for that higher super consciousness, but they need to understand it. And, you know, if we've walked our road and are continuing to walk our road, we do understand it. So they're reaching, you know, for the guidance and the understanding and the teachings. But it's so interesting how it will all affect consciousness. And then you have, you know, your own personal level of consciousness. And then you have your tribal family level of consciousness, and then you have your race, and then you have the global, and then it's like what a domino effect, mm-hmm. you know. So it shows the importance of just simply understanding that it is so connected, and there's no erasing, you know, those emotional patterns and thoughts. It's like you had said earlier, when we embrace even the lower, what hurts us or what makes us, you know, fear-based, we start to immediately even lift in the frequency of that higher perception into it. And a lot of times there is forgiveness and even gratitude that needs to be applied to it.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly gratitude.
Does that kind of touch, did I go off base on that or did I?
No, that was perfect. Yeah, I think gratitude certainly is one of the keys to raising our energy and raising the frequency of which we vibrate at.
Mm-hmm. Powerful one, and it's maybe in a lot of ways misunderstood. I mean, just being grateful for the simple things, you know. I wake up in the morning and the first thing I like to do is take a deep breath and say, you know, I am grateful for opening my eyes and taking this breath, and now I am grateful for all divine opportunities that are open for me today and for those who call upon me. And start it out. You know, I think your first 30 seconds of the morning can be the most influential of how the frequency of your day is going to go, because all things will flow into the clear intention that you set first thing in the morning. But when you wake up and the first thing you do is, oh, I don't want to get out of bed, I hate my job, or I don't believe what I got to deal with today. Well, you know, wake up on the wrong side of the bed, you'll be on the wrong side of the bed all day. And don't, you know, it's funny, that's an interesting metaphor. You know, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed today, or didn't they wake up on the wrong side? So, you know, your intention through your thought and the emotional connection to that thought is running the show. You know, I often tell people that first 30 seconds to a minute of your morning, don't get out of bed without being grateful for something. Because you're going to shift. Everything's going to start magnetically aligning to your intention. And if you're going to get a flat tire out there, well, maybe you're still going to be grateful your motor's running. I don't know. You can look at it in so many of the simple little things.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we do it in the simple little things, when those big things come, you don't have to reach up in desperation. You know what I mean? You're already set. You're already kind of in that intention of living daily in gratitude and in compassion and in, you know. So you know how to utilize that law of attraction for yourself to bring that inner awareness, that inner peace, open your intuition, move through your choices. And every day is a day to wake up and utilize that. I know a lot of people will share with me, well, I don't have any time to do my spiritual practice, and I want to be more spiritual, and I don't know how to have the time. And I'm like, stop the separation. You know, you don't separate the two. Every physical experience you have, every thought you're going to have, every single thought is an opportunity to be aware of who you are spiritually. So there is, if you don't separate it, you're not going to have to look for the, it's not about sometimes 20 minutes to meditate, or it's not about getting to a workshop and or reading through your book all the time. Practice is in your life, in your physical self expression. There is always an opportunity, and that creates those emotions, you know, all those emotions around you in what frequency they're going to be in, and then your law of attraction, you know, and we like to bend that rule and try to break it, but it's always in motion.
Right.
So if we learn to, I think, utilize it to its most divine, you know, regard, we change, we live in that regard for ourselves, and then we draw situations to us, people to us, career opportunities to us that resonate in a higher vibration.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the law of attraction and how you see that working within our lives?
I think it's one of the most powerful understandings we can carry, and I think back at myself and when I didn't quite get it, even though I believed in it, and then I would practice, well, think positive and do my affirmations, and you know, I would work, and then I 4 or 5 days go, oh, I didn't do my affirmations today. And I would start to see clearly the difference if I was setting those intentions, but the emotion behind the intention, you can't fool that. And I find that sometimes, I mean, myself, I've done it, where we try to fool. We can't move, the emotion is the force behind it, you know, and the energy system is the magnetics around you. So your energy system, the condition of that, is based upon your thought patterns and your emotional responses to everything you're going through and everything you've been through, because that's the subconscious. It's not, you're not, you know, you even can choose not to think about it. You can choose, well, I haven't, you know, it's my ex, and then we haven't lived together for 15 years. But if you're still angry about something back there, you might as well be living under the same roof, because you're still, from your law of attraction, you're still carrying the magnetics of the pain, the wound, the martyrdom, or the perpetrator, depending what role you took, you know, in your law of attraction. So it's amazing to me how far back some of the stuff can be influencing that energy system, your energy system around you, which is the magnetics of your law of attraction. This is how I've become comfortable in understanding it. You know, you can read about it, you can, you know, hear about it, but I think you have to be comfortable with it. And, you know, I'm not saying I don't like to say, like, this is it, but to me, this explanation helps me understand it and utilize it every day.
Right.
And I find the more, you know, consistent I became in my spiritual or higher vibrational approach, spiritual approach to it, in understanding that law of attraction. It is the word, it explains itself. It attracts. You know, we attract who we are, what we are in our perception of thought. And the first, we have to know who we are as an energy being, light being, spiritual being, and as a self, a personality. And when we walk in that higher truth, and I think, to me, that's why even in channeling and the communication with the spirit world, these are the things they're trying to show us, sometimes in much more simplistic terms, or down-to-earth terms, pun intended, I guess, that, you know, they're trying to show us this, even if they didn't know it here. You know, that this is important, this communication is important for us as well to live our life in a more, understand who we are. I just think it really comes down to that, understanding who we are, because when we do, we will take that law of attraction much more seriously, you know. And you don't blame anyone else. When you understand it, and I think you experience with it and really get the, you know, I mean, people say it all the time, well, I've been doing so good with my affirmations for about a month, and now I've stopped and things are crazy. Mm-hmm. You can't stop. And it doesn't mean things still won't get crazy, but they won't get as crazy.
Right.
You know, or you'll be empowering yourself to understand, okay, if I'm going to change this situation, or if I'm going to make this situation evolve or grow or make a decision, you know, what I think and feel about it are creating the condition of it now. And that's your law of attraction at work. So what you think and feel about it, I don't know, or you ask 10 different people their opinion, what should you do? Well, you talk about confusing the law of attraction, and you probably haven't. You probably just ping-ponged it, you know, the ball's like, bing, 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 and then you wonder why you're feeling stressed, or you wonder why you're feeling confused or anxiety, you know, because you put that in motion. And that, a lot of people don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear it. But when you embrace that you are responsible for that condition and your own, you know, the law of attraction and motion around you, or it's always in motion, but what are you attracting, then, boy, it's empowering. Mm-hmm. And you don't depend on another person to do it for you. You don't depend on a certain career to do it for you. You won't depend on a certain amount of money to be made to do it for you, because you don't, there's that root chakra. You won't put that frequency into it that is, you know, foundation, that all of those things can be cracked.
Hmm.
You know, but when you approach it from your higher centers or your spirit, you can't, when you feel the spirit through you, it don't crack. And you nurture yours. I know you do. And you know that. I mean, mm-hmm. You'd probably agree with that. It really can't crack. You know, maybe it can bend a little. I mean, it's not to say we're not going to have, you know, our own moments of emotion. And, you know, definitely, by all means, you know, we experience all of those, but in lower frequency. But there's, you know, that you're not going to dig your hole. You're not going to dig the dirt over you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You see a higher truth, and there are times we have to pray maybe a little harder ourselves for that little extra, you know, strength. I know any time I've ever said, help me with this because I am not seeing the light or a higher truth in it, and if I can see that, I know it will help. It's a matter of sometimes moments, sometimes hours, and it shows I see it.
Right.
And that it's kind of like that thought with the war, you know. I did get the answer. It wasn't quite the answer, you know. Well, what would I even think to hear? I wouldn't even know, you know, but it certainly made sense. And then that was a feeling that went through me like, whoa. You know, and okay, I got it. Mm-hmm. That is why.
Mm-hmm. You've said so much in the last little bit. I'm not quite sure where to direct the next questions, but I want to ask one about, you know, affirmations that you talk about. And I'm assuming when you're referring to affirmations, you're thinking of setting intentions.
Yes.
And certainly we can talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, what people resist most is even the definition that we've created about responsibility, because to most people, when they say, oh, you're telling me I'm responsible, that means I'm to blame. And that's a huge aspect of why people don't see responsibility empowering. And there was one other thing, but if you want to talk about first affirmations, then that just as ideas of what you're talking about with when you say affirmations.
All right, so kind of like what do I, how would I define an affirmation?
Mm-hmm.
And when to to me, an affirmation is like we're trying to affirm something into our life to create a positive or higher vibrational transformation in the situation, with also the respect that we cannot be attached to the outcome. Because when a lot of times, you know, affirmations, you know, people want to create a change and this is how they want it. And I always will approach an affirmation with the word divine in it a lot of times, mm-hmm. like I am open to the divine truth or I am open to the divine strength. Because when you're using the word divine, you're basically raising the frequency of any emotion or any transformation that you want to make. And it, to me, it's also like saying, but I, you know, I release from the attachment, because sometimes what you think you know you want or would like, it could be coming from more of the desire body. And there's such a fine line there of the desire body's, you know, need, the human desire body need, and your spiritual or more highly evolved desires. So when you use the word divine in an affirmation, you raise the complete, again, speaking of frequency or vibration of what you're trying to affirm. And it brings you peace, it brings you strength, and it will manifest. Because if you're saying it with the intention that you are truly embracing the divine truth of a situation, and you wish this for anyone connected to it, you're not trying to manipulate, you're not asking for an outcome. You know, a lot of people with legal things, they'll say, embrace the divine justice, the divine justice.
Hmm.
Because what you think is just and what the person opposed with you is the two different justices, you know, two different outcomes. So when you embrace the divine justice, you're affirming that you're embracing the highest level, you know, the highest to where, you know, you would just be at the peace and the higher understanding of the situation and the highest learning, so you can, you know, enlighten. So to me, that's what an affirmation is, something that you want to bring higher frequency into, whether it be a situation, you know, a question, a choice you're trying to make. Is what I find, you know, so accelerated out there. You know, the energy, you know, it's, you know, John Lennon said it, instant karma. There's no, you know, you don't need no lifetimes anymore for karma. This is instant. It's instant going on, you know, and so is healing. And so is higher perception into situations and higher truth and you know, manifestation. And affirmations are one of the most simplest ways, I think, one of the most simplest techniques to use to approach your changes and your shifts that you need to embrace for your highest good.
You know, I really like what you're saying about affirmation, because I think a lot of people think of affirmations as, you know, bringing in, I mean, most people think of it from the secret perspective, which is, you know, God love them for, you know, really creating a shift in understanding and awareness, but still most of what they were teaching was, you know, the old paradigm still of greed and, you know, I want the new house and I want, you know, the money and I want, you know, it was still very much based on that greed and old paradigm, where what you're talking about is really shifting to a higher vibration, using qualities, using feelings, using, you know, your divine essence to allow yourself to see a bigger picture and to allow yourself to understand the meaning and to allow yourself to shift from that perspective, which I think is something that is missing in most people that talk about affirmations. So I'm really pleased to hear how you are using affirmations. And I would like to actually pursue that more deeply, probably in another show, but, yeah, I'm really pleased with that.
Yeah, and you know, you said it too when you just said, you said the feeling. You know, when you approach your affirmations with that true intention for the highest good, it is a feeling, and it's not just, you know, a list of statements that you want to attract to you. Mm-hmm. You want that feeling that gives you that peace and that strength to get through. If it's a challenge or a difficult choice, you know what I mean, or a hard choice, whatever, you know, because it's you're emotionally connected to it. You know, so you have to raise the frequency again of the emotions. And when your intention is true, and you know, like I said, I've embraced affirmations for some very physical things, just for an understanding into it, not necessarily I wanted it, you know.
Right.
And you know, I've watched things. I just sit back and watch it start to happen, and I'm there's gratitude, you know, and it's just I'm so grateful that I can see that, you know, and that I can, you know, hopefully tune others into that perception of it, and then their light will, you know, brighten.
Mm-hmm. So you've written a book. Is it an e-book or is it a published book that's...
Yeah, I self-published it. Okay. It's called Journey to Light, Meditation for the Soul, and I basically started it out about 4 years ago or so as an online correspondence program, and I would hit all my little pages in my files, and I would, you know, work with someone, and we had six lessons, and there'd be 5 days in each lesson, so they'd get 2 days off. We approached it on a weekly basis. So I would work with people on it, and I started having such really amazing experiences. They were very simple meditations. I kind of, 1 week, and this is exactly what happened and where it even came from in the very beginning, was I remember 1 week getting like 8 phone calls of people saying, you know, I'd like to do a class with you, but I don't live near you, or, you know, I like the Inner Light Awareness Program, but I really don't have physical time to come and be for, you know, 4 to 6 hours a couple times a week. And I said, well, you know, I kind of was like, this is kind of interesting. I'm getting all these people I can't touch because, you know, I have no way to touch them. I wonder, how, you know, and I put out my thought and my affirmation to be open to, you know, a divine guidance into how to reach people that were now reaching out to me like this. I was a little caught off guard. And I... you know, really, a couple of days later, kind of thought, well, geez, you know. I remember taking a 12-week correspondence course where I had studied at Delphi University in Georgia, and it's an amazing place, and I got into meditation there and things like that, and where I started to learn about it. And I remember thinking, wow, that really stretched me, and that was quite a few years before. So I thought about it, and I thought, well, maybe I could put together a little course like that. You know, I didn't want to make it too difficult for people. I wanted to keep it simple and help them tune into themselves and meditate and learn, you know, get rid of the false things about meditation, like it has to be in complete silence and, you know, your soundproof room most people don't have. And so I put together little simple things about going into the light of the heart, which has always been my little place in my readings, you know, to go for the blessing, and just kind of expanded from there. And I mean, even one day I was walking down the lake, and I was like, you know, I had really no time to put together a program, but I knew I had to quit thinking that way. So I went for a walk, and I did a little yoga by the lake, and I sat down, and I started seeing my chakras literally open like a rosebud. And I mean, I was sitting there at the lake with my eyes closed, and I literally just started chanting the Sanskrit sound for the chakras, and I could feel my whole vibrational shift go on each chakra each time I went up. And then I was like, thank you, God. Oh, my God, this is so amazing. What a beautiful feeling. And I heard week 3 in my head, and I went, oh, my God, they're showing me week 3, you know what I mean, lesson 3. So I went home, and I wrote it out. Well, after I finished it, I let it completely finish through all my chakras. So the actual journey, you know, class kind of got put together by me truly trusting things that I was experiencing myself, and I put it all together and put it out there, and you know, people started signing up for it. And so I eventually started realizing a couple years ago, wow, you know, this could really help more people, and not everybody has the means to do a 6-week program, you know, and make that mean that investment. So I decided to put it into a manual, like a meditation manual, and that's how Journey to Light really came along as far as the book. And actually right now I'm putting it on, I just finished doing an audio recording with it, and it's going to be on audio on my website probably within a month.
Nice.
And Google Book, I'm, you know, all these people have kind of found me, you know, they said, hey, you need to do this with it too, you know. And so I did self-publish it, and you know, and I just a lot of neat experiences. I have some testimonials on my website, and just personally what I go through when I go through it with people. But now with the manual, you can go through it yourself, you know, and that was the main purpose. People, you know, there's people out there who can take it and just go with it, and why not? They could always do the program with me if they wanted. And the beautiful thing is you could, you know, read it once, but there's like, you know, 20 meditations in there, and you could, you know, I encourage people go from the beginning to the end when you first start. But after that, you can, you know, thumb through and pick a meditation or go to one that you feel, you know, you need, you know, to go deeper, or do you want to keep something light because some of the basic ones are in the front. So that's kind of where it is. It's about stretching and helping you connect to your spirit, to your soul, and get the understand that communication.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so fascinating because our work keeps changing, you know. Definitely with these times, everything is changing. And it's almost like we can't be too attached to, you know, the old ways that people have done things. And we have to always be just open to whatever it is that comes through to us. So the fact that you've stayed open and allowed, you know, different ways of this growing. And I know that as the more you keep open, the more it will continue to change, because everything around us is changing, and the last few years have been so dramatic that, you know, what used to work is no longer working. So we, you know, we just keep developing the different areas so that we can become, you know, the teachers and the educators that we're meant to be here as. It's just that it just keeps changing and evolving.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to keep doing that, you know, and it's all that. I think it's that vibrational, the shifts, and we're raising in frequency, and what doesn't serve us, we have to really free ourselves to release from. And this will be in careers, this will be in personal relationships and friendships, and your perception will shift. And if it's, you know, just being open to what your spirit really wants to speak, that language of the soul and how it wants to, that level of communication, you know, between you and your higher self or universal oneness, God, you know, all that, you know, it is all it is. And it's a beautiful place to be in. You know, I feel very grateful. I have, like you said, we've all gone through some very probably hard times to get to that place of seeing, you know, the higher perception into, or the more sacred, the sacredness of even the pain we go through can be pretty, pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Acceptance, and you're really responding to the ability of who you are as a spiritual being when you do that, and you just open up the doors, the windows, everything just starts to make a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever ask why anymore for anything. You know, all energy, hope you didn't just hear my dog barking upstairs, all energy has to express itself, whether it's a lower frequency or a higher, and it's going to, you know, and we're amongst it, and you know, if we work within ourselves, you know, on a personal level, we touch our families, we touch our children, we touch friends, and then, you know, strangers walking by you. I mean, everybody feels frequency.
Yeah.
So it's amazing what someone walking around with a, you know, a little more enlightenment or a little more divinity around them, how much light they bring. And that's the beauty of where we are, I guess, too, mm-hmm. you know.
And I think there's no coincidence that you're now on Intuitive Soul Radio, because what I've opened up to and asked for, I think even since the beginning of this year, is that I, you know, get in contact with a lot more heart-centered people that have acknowledged, you know, that the heart is where our soul is connected and that bridge to our spirit. And so I am very grateful for having Journey to Your Light and Beth Lynch as one of the new shows, because I think, you know, what you're going to offer our listeners and, you know, bring to the station will offer that, you know, that way, and a way to, you know, find our heart's path and a way to, you know, become more heart conscious. And so I'm, you know, very grateful that you've come to shed some of that light and your knowledge and your wisdom to the station.
Well, thank you, and I am very grateful that I found you. You know, I've touched done a few shows with some others, and I saw your name, and I just, oh, I love that, Intuitive Soul, and I clicked on it, and I just went, you know, and I went, I have to get in contact with her. So, you know, it all happened, you know, like I said, I feel that so many beautiful energy doorways have opened for me even in the last couple months, and it's because I'm putting it out that, you know, I'm, you know, grateful, and I want, you know, open to all divine opportunities for myself, and let me, I want to reach my divine potential, yeah. You know, and whether I'm almost there or there, I think that's an ongoing ascension and progression, and there's no, just, you're never reaching one thing, but to walk in your divine potential every day, just, you know, everyone listening, just embrace that tonight when you sleep and when you wake up, that I embrace my divine potential today and feel it and, you know, stay with that for a week. Make a commitment to that affirmation.
Nice.
Watch things start shifting, because they will.
Nice. All right. So you will be back in June?
Yes, I will be back in June.
You're going through a move just like I am, so...
yeah, we have changes. It shifted back, and now it's shifting again, and I'm just going with the divine synchronicity, and that's all I keep saying, and, you know, I'm not worried about it at all. I'm letting it be, and but I definitely, for sure, you know, will be June. Look forward to that. I don't know, am I the second Monday of the month or something?
You are, yes.
Yeah. And I look forward to it, and have, and soon make it monthly. That's my
great
divine goal. And I really thank you. I really have enjoyed this time with you.
It has been wonderful.
You have an amazing. I think you know you just carry a very beautiful. Can I say the word frequency? Because you do, and it's felt through the phone and the internet, and I'm sure everyone's feeling it. And many blessings and much prosperity to you, because you're helping many people.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
I'm going to send you a journey to light, by the way, okay?
You know, I was going to say, stay on the line when we finish this, to say maybe you should send me your book so that we can go through that as well as part of the show.
Yes, I'll send one out to you tomorrow.
Awesome. All right. So we will connect in June. Take care.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Lori.
You're welcome.